6. The Bible says, and they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. We see here the story of blind Bartimaeus. This story has a parallel in the book of Luke chapter 18 that I don't want you to turn to that one. You can compare that story, though, as it's recorded in Luke's gospel also. I just want to focus on Mark's account here mostly this morning of the story of blind Bartimaeus. It's one of the most touching stories in all of the Bible of the love of Jesus Christ for people and his help for the individual. This is the last miracle of Jesus' ministry. 7 days after this, Jesus Christ will be crucified on a cross. And he will be buried, and 3 days and three nights later, he would rise from the grave. This is the last time Jesus will walk the road to Jericho. The Jericho Road is a famous road in the scriptures. It runs between Jerusalem to the east to Jericho about 15 miles. It was a very treacherous road. It was a dangerous road. We know the story, for instance, of the Good Samaritan on the road to Jericho and how a man had been walking along that road and the Bible says he was robbed and thieves came and beat him and he was left in a ditch half dead alongside of this very road. And of course, you know that story, where the Good Samaritan came and helped him and restored him back to health and took him to an inn like a hospital and had them nurse the man back to life, and he paid his way. And it was just a story Jesus used. When you go over to Israel and you drive from Jerusalem to Jericho, and my wife and I were there once and looking out the window, there's actually a small chapel about the size of that addition right there that was built in honor of the Good Samaritan and how he helped that man that was half dead. But there were other things that happened on the Jericho Road. And here's another touching story that involved Jesus Christ. It says in verse 46, and they came to Jericho, and as he, Jesus, went out of Jericho, and he's going to head back to Jerusalem for his crucifixion, with his disciples, that's his 12 disciples, and a great number of people. We're now introduced to a man named Bartimaeus, and we're told several things about Bartimaeus in verse 46. Number one, he is blind. We do not know why he is blind. Maybe he was born blind. Perhaps his eyesight just went on him as he grew older, or perhaps he contracted some kind of a disease that affected his eyes. We do not know what happened, but he was blind. The second thing we see about him is that he was reduced to being a beggar. He was reduced to being a beggar. You can see him there sitting along the highway side begging, and as often happens with human beings, when they lose one of their senses, their other senses kick in and become more defined, and perhaps his hearing increased and the use of his hearing. And as he would sit by the Jericho roadside begging, he would maybe have a pot in his hand, maybe a cup or something, and from time to time he could hear footprints, maybe of an individual or a couple doing their business on their way to Jerusalem or back, or maybe a camel was coming by. We took camel rides when we were in Israel from a man who lived in Jericho, and we paid him a couple of dollars. He gave us a ride on his camel, and but he would hear these things from time to time, and immediately when he heard them coming, he would start begging, he'd start crying out, and see if they could give him some alms, if they had a few extra shekels or something that they might be able to give to him, or whatever the mode of money was with Caesar's inscription on anything. And then maybe he'd hear a few others and so on. He was a beggar. Oh, how we ought to thank the Lord for America and the prosperity God has given us. Even the poorest in this country can go to the government and get help, and or go to a charity and get help, or go to a food bank. But can you imagine, this man's a blind man and this man's a beggar. This man is also the son of Timaeus. You'll notice his name is Bar Timaeus. That word Bar simply means the son of Timaeus. Bartimaeus, we call him, blind Bartimaeus. And he's appears to be fatherless. We don't know why his father would not take care of him. But it clearly says he's blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. Maybe Timaeus is dead. And maybe his son was blind and there was nobody else left to take care of him. Maybe his father was an absentee father. Maybe he couldn't handle the pressure of having a disabled child. And sadly, there's sometimes human beings bolt in a circumstance like that, and they can't handle it, and they leave it to others. Perhaps he was an uncaring father. We do not know. But for some reason, this poor lot of this man was to be blind and to beg and to not have family or friends or anyone care about him. We don't know what he did at nighttime. It was a hazardous road to stay by. Maybe he tried to feel his way back to somewhere near Jericho and sleep on a bench somewhere. Maybe he made his way back to Jerusalem and stayed underneath a tree. Maybe somebody would show mercy on him once in a while. I don't know about you, but I picture this man as unkempt probably because of his situation. He's probably dirty. He may be filthy. He may his hair is disheveled. He may be very skinny because he is being emaciated because of malnutrition. What a sad state we see of blind Bartimaeus. But then the greatest thing that ever happens to him in his life takes place in the next verse. In verse 47 it says, "And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.'" He notices something with his ears different this day. It wasn't just a few people. But in verse number 46 it says, "Jesus and his disciples." We know he had 12 disciples at this time. And it says there was also, in verse number 46, a great number of people. And as he's sitting there by the side begging, he says, this is different. It's not just a camel or a few footprints. And from his trained ears, he says, there's this huge crowd that's going by. Now, I encourage you to compare all the stories in the Bible with each other when they're the same story and come to your conclusions. It's not mentioned here in Mark's story, but if you'll turn over to the book of Luke in chapter number 18, it is mentioned in verse number 36 that as this crowd was coming, Luke brings out that Bartimaeus asked this question, "What does this mean? What does this mean?" And somebody says to him, "Jesus of Nazareth passeth by." Thank God for somebody who answered his question. Amen. What does this mean? He says, "What does it mean? I hear footprints. I hear a big crowd. It's like a parade or a royal escort or something. But this is more than I usually hear. Somebody tell me what's going on." And somebody says, "Jesus of Nazareth passeth by." And then it says in verse 47, that verse is interjected between 46 and 47 in Luke's account. 47 now in Mark's account says, "And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and to say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.'" I want you to notice that he didn't address him as Jesus of Nazareth. That's what they told him. But somehow he had enough sense to know Jesus was somebody besides Jesus of Nazareth. He said, "Jesus, thou son of David." You know what this indicates to me when you really think about it? Somebody somewhere previously had told him who Jesus was. Somebody had told him some facts about the Lord Jesus Christ, that he was more than just a man that grew up in Nazareth. "Jesus, thou son of David." He is referring to Jesus as royalty. He is referring to Jesus as deity. He says, "I've heard of Jesus. Somebody once told me that he's the son of David, the promised Messiah that should come, that the Old Testament prophets have told us for hundreds and hundreds of years." And when he heard that, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy. Have mercy on me." You know, when a person's trying to come to Christ, however, there are sometimes human obstacles that we have to overcome. Somebody's going to try and stop you from coming to the Lord. And notice that happens in verse 48. "And many charged him that he should hold his peace." Many charged him that he should hold his peace. Many. I mean, this was a big crowd, and there was many that charged, and many came as he did. It seems to indicate that he just kept crying out and crying out and crying out, and people after people after people would come by and say, "Look, just hold your peace. Be quiet, will you?" And maybe their thought was, "He doesn't have time for a blind, dirty beggar like you. Why don't you just be quiet? He's got some business. He's an important man. We're heading off to Jerusalem. He told us something important is going to go on there. Why don't you just be quiet? The Lord doesn't care about you." Friends, I want to encourage you today to come to Jesus Christ, and don't let any human being keep you from trusting in the Lord. Someone once said this: "Your friends can keep you out of heaven, but your friends can't get you out of hell." You need to make sure that you don't let anybody keep you, not a family member, not a friend, not a boyfriend, not a girlfriend, not a husband, not a wife, not a mother, not a father. Don't let anybody keep you from coming to Jesus Christ. It's very, very important. "And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the great deal, Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And so he just cries out more. This man is concerned. He's concerned for himself, and he says, "This is the one time that Jesus has passed by me. I've heard about him. He can help me. Thou son of David, have mercy." And he just cried. And the more people said, "Be quiet," the more he cried out. Don't let people keep you from coming to the Lord Jesus. They're not worth it. Everybody needs to come to the Lord sometime. Notice, if you will, in verse 49, it says, "And Jesus stood still." And Jesus stood still. You know, there's a precious verse back in the book of Job, chapter 34, verse 28. I'll read it for you. It says, "So that they cause the cry of the poor to come unto him, and he heareth the cry of the afflicted." Jesus hears the cry of the afflicted. No matter who you are, you're probably going through some kind of an affliction. You're either going into an affliction, coming out of an affliction, or right in the middle of an affliction. But if you're a human being, you are probably suffering some kind of an affliction. Get last Sunday's sermon on CD or something. I talked about afflictions. "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all." An affliction is an extended period of time of mental grief or mental anguish or physical infirmity. It might be your spirit, your emotions. It may be a long season of grief that you're going through, maybe in a marriage or in a family or at work or in your neighborhood or maybe financially. "But many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord hears the cry of the afflicted." I want to encourage you, whatever your affliction is, to cry out to the Lord. No matter how young you are, I don't think you're too young to cry out to the Lord. Things didn't go well in my home growing up. My mother died of cancer when I was 4 years of age. My dad turned to alcohol. My dad remarried a stepmother, and I had a very difficult time living with her, and things just, it's just the truth. Things just seemed to go bad, from bad to worse in my life in those young years. We bounced around between my grandparents as they tried to care for me and my two older brothers while my dad got his footing back under him and tried to get some help. I remember those times. I remember as a little boy one time just crying out to God. Just crying. I didn't know who God was. I didn't know if he'd hear me. I said, Lord, if you're real, please show yourself to me somehow, some way, help me. And it was about 5 years later when my dad took me and my brothers into a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church like this, and I heard the gospel of Jesus Christ and received him as my Savior. And Jesus stood still for me one day and called me to himself and said, Art, I'm the one you need. I can help you with your affliction. My affliction wasn't blindness. There was a lot of other things in my life that were very, very painful. And the Lord helped me. And you know, I don't understand everything, but you know those things young in life prepared me for the ministry, to help have a heart for other people who are suffering, people who are going through some hard times in their life. And I thank God, and I wouldn't have it any other way than the steps the Lord has ordered for my life. I thank the Lord, but don't let people keep you from coming to Jesus. Jesus stood still. And do you understand the significance of this statement right here? Jesus stood still. Do you understand Jesus would never walk the Jericho road again in his life? This was Bartimaeus' last chance. And he took advantage of it. And he said, Jesus, Lord, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. What if he'd have listened to the people that said, oh, wait till you're older? That's not for kids. Wait till you're an adult and you can decide for yourself. What if he'd have said, I'll catch Jesus the next time he goes to Jericho. I'll catch him on the next trip. I'm bothering these people. I don't want to bother them with religion. I think I'll just be quiet. There was no next time. There was no next time. As kindly as I can say this today, the Lord Jesus Christ is here. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in his name, there he is in the midst. And perhaps you are here today by divine appointment to meet the Lord Jesus Christ, to trust him as your Savior. I want to encourage you to see the wisdom of this blind, dirty beggar Bartimaeus and say, you know, if Jesus would stand still for him, if Jesus would minister to him, then I want to take advantage of this time where I am in the presence of Jesus Christ. And I want to receive him as my Savior. Verse 49 says, and Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Jesus commanded him to be called. The Bible says over in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2 and verse 14, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, God calls us out today by the gospel. He doesn't walk our roads and our towns anymore in a physical body. He's in heaven. But today he calls us by his gospel, by the good news, by those who herald and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. He calls you unto himself. And it says right here, Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Can you imagine the shockwaves that went through that crowd? But just as I said earlier, there are some human beings who try to keep you away from Jesus. Praise the Lord, there are human beings who have care and compassion in their hearts who try to help you to Jesus Christ. And that's how our church is. And it says right here, and they, verse 49, they call the blind man, saying unto him, and this must have been some of the most precious words he ever heard in his life, be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth thee. Be of good comfort. You see, this thing about Jesus Christ, it's an individual thing. It's an individual thing between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody goes to heaven based on the faith of their parents or the faith of the religion or church that they belong to. It has to be a personal thing where Christ and you had a personal encounter where you met the Lord Jesus Christ and he called you and you, in obedience, came to him. It says in verse 50 about his obedience, and he, casting away his garments, rose and came to Jesus. Prior to this time, he's sitting down and he's hearing this crowd, and they tell him, he says, what does this mean? They say, Jesus of Nazareth passes by. And from that moment on, he begins to say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. They say, be quiet. But he says, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they say, be quiet. And he just keeps yelling and yelling and yelling. And finally, Jesus stands still and commands him, come to me. And some nice people in the crowd say, be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth thee. He cast his garment aside. He was probably so respectful at who Jesus Christ was that he said, man, I got to get rid of this filthy garment. I just want to come to the Lord Jesus Christ as I am and receive him as my Savior. And he casting away his garment, he left all. It's probably the only possession he had. He left it. He said, this is so important. He rose and he came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord. This is the first time he addresses Jesus now as Lord. Very significant. For the Bible says in Romans 10, verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We need to understand this morning that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's not just Jesus of Nazareth. He's not just Jesus, the son of David. He's Lord. He is God who left earth or heaven one day and came to earth in the womb of a virgin named Mary. Was born a little baby. Grew up through childhood and the teen years and his youth and into adulthood. And he went through all the things that you and I ever go through. He suffered in all points like as we are so he could relate to us. I'm so glad God came to this earth and went through what we went through. So now when we pray to him, we know we have a God. It says a high priest who is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. For he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. No matter what it is that you are going through today, God came to this earth in flesh and he knows how you feel. And he cares about you. And he is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. 299 times directly in the New Testament, he is called Lord. God in the flesh, do you know him? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And this beggar, this blind, dirty beggar, says, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. When you read Luke's account over in Luke chapter number 18 and verse number 42, Jesus' words are this in Luke's account, go thy way, thy faith hath saved thee. Thy faith hath saved thee. He said to this man, your faith has made you whole. Your faith has saved you. And my brethren, there is only one way to be saved from our sins. There's only one way to be saved from the horrific penalty of sin. And that is by faith in Jesus Christ. And it has to be your faith. I can't do it for you. I'm a pastor, but I can't say some hocus-pocus words over you or your babies or your children or anything. Your parents can't do it for you. There needs to be a time in your life where it's thy faith hath saved thee. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 say, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We are saved by faith, not of works. Perhaps today you've been trusting in your works up to this point. That's where your faith is, in your works. Maybe in your religion, your church, your baptism, your ordinances, your catechism, or the money or the prayers you've said. The money you've given away, maybe your faith is in those things and you're saying, boy, I hope I've done enough to make God happy. But your faith is in your own works. No. For by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Our faith needs to be directed toward Jesus Christ. This man said, Lord, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Jesus said, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately, he received his sight. followed Jesus in the way. Blind Bartimaeus. Probably the most insignificant person in the crowd that day, but he was the only one who said, I want to know the Lord. I want to meet the Lord. We're in a crowd of churchgoers today, but maybe there's one person here who says, I want to meet the Lord. I need Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Are you saved? Jesus said, thy faith hath saved thee. What is faith? Faith is confidence in someone else and their abilities. Getting on an airplane. You put your confidence in a pilot and his abilities to fly the plane. That's faith. You put your life in his hands. Might not be perfect faith, but you put your faith in the pilot. You have faith. Now all you do is you take it, you put it toward Jesus Christ. You say, Jesus, I believe you are who you said you were. You're the Lord. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I believe you shed your blood for my sins. I can't save myself, but you can, Lord. You know, we need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Acts 16:31. And then upon that faith, we need to receive. Believe and receive. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes now in a word of prayer. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, Bartimaeus, his name's in the Bible. But you know something else? His name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. Jesus has a book in heaven where he writes the names of every man. He writes the names of every woman that ever received Christ as Savior. In fact, there's a story about a woman in Luke chapter number 7. And Jesus said these words to her, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. So whether it's a man or a woman, there's one way to heaven, and that is through faith in Jesus Christ. It's not through religion. It's not through a church. It's not through this church. It's not through being a Baptist. It's through Jesus Christ. You may have another chance, but this may be the last day Christ ever walks across the path of your life. Don't let anyone stop you. As our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, if you'd like to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, then right where you're sitting, why don't you obey the admonition of the Lord where he said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Maybe you're here and you say, I don't know what to say. Let me help you. I'm going to pray a prayer right now for salvation. If you'd like to repeat this prayer to the Lord from your heart, not just from your lips, but from your heart, I believe it'll be good enough for the Lord to save you if it expresses the desire of your heart. Let me help you. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, not out loud, but as though the Lord were the only one here, as though Jesus were calling for you today and commanded you to come, and you're now going to call on the Lord to save you. Perhaps you could say something like this, dear Lord Jesus, I call upon you in faith to save me from my sins. Lord Jesus, I accept you as my Savior. I believe you are the Lord. I cannot save myself. I ask you to have mercy on my soul. Please give me the gift of eternal life. And save me today, I pray. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, no one else is looking around, just me. But maybe today you have prayed and you're not trusting in that prayer, but you've trusted in Jesus Christ today to be your Savior. I was about 12, I think, when a pastor helped me in the exact same way I just tried to help you. Maybe while you were sitting there this morning, you prayed and asked Jesus to be your Savior. I think that's a wonderful thing. Now, I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to approach you. I'm not going to embarrass you or anything. But just before we leave here and sing a song, go home. No one else is looking, but could you at least raise your hand up right now? Say, God knows my heart. I've asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior this morning. While you were praying, I've asked the Lord to save my soul. Yes, God bless you. Anyone else? Raise your hand right up. Take it down. Say, God knows my heart. I've asked Jesus to be my Savior today. Anybody? Raise your hand up. Anybody else? God bless you. All right. Amen. Our Father, we thank you for any decisions that have been made today. We just want to pray that everybody here would understand it's a condition of the heart. It's not special words that we say. It's a blind Bartimaeus getting one chance in his life, his last chance, calling on the Lord, coming to Jesus, trusting in him as his Savior. And Lord, it's the same for all men and women. And now just bless the rest of our service as we close in song. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like us to take our blue hymn.